on these words of Paul from Corinthians, where he reminds us that the bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? That we, in this Holy Communion, share something very special. Just as the Jews, when they came to the altar and the priest ate of the gifts that were offered to God, they were participating in what God is doing. And in Christ Jesus, the altar and the Holy of Holies is opened up to all of us. And when we come together and break the bread, we are participating in the very presence of God. We become a part of something wonderful. So wonderful that in our general conference in 2004, they encouraged Methodist churches to move towards having communion every week. This is one of the goals of the United Methodist Church. A few weeks ago, pastors from across the conference went to be with our bishops for a bishop day apart, and we looked at this whole issue of celebrating communion more often than we do just once a month, with the goal in mind that it become a part of a weekly service. Now, why would that be so special? Well, we know that, you know, we're a little bit in trouble, although some of us are in less trouble than others of us, about being at the table. But we need a certain amount of nourishment to just go about our daily task and do the kinds of things that we need to do to earn a living and just get by in life. We're blessed to be in a country where most of us don't have to dig through garbage cans and dumpsters just to survive, and yet the poverty rate in America is as high now as it's ever been. There are Americans digging into garbage cans and in dumpsters just to get by in this great land of ours. But we're talking about a spiritual nourishment. That if we are to carry out God's mission in the world today, we need to be nourished spiritually. And John Wesley believed that coming to the table of the Lord and sharing the cup and the bread was a means of grace. That when we come and kneel and receive the bread as the body of Christ and dip that bread into the cup and it's mingled together to represent the body and blood of Christ, we're taking in a spiritual nourishment that empowers us to be the people that God calls us to be. Now, I'm sure there are many of you in the United Methodist tradition that remember celebrating communion quarterly. How many of you remember that? That you know, except for Christmas and a couple of times, quarterly communion. And you know why that happened? Because when John Wesley sent his preachers over here, only a few of them, a handful of them, were ordained. And only ordained people could bless and consecrate the elements and serve communion. So it took a whole quarter for an ordained minister to make his circuit around the churches that had lay preachers and be able to serve communion. I remember a time when we used to have quarterly conference. I mean, you know, we have charge conference once a year. We used to have quarterly conference. But that was dying out because we only had quarterly conference semi-annually. A little weird, but you know, we still called it a quarterly conference. But it went back to that same tradition. There were not enough ordained ministers to serve the sacraments. And so the sacrament of communion kind of fell into a bit of disfavor in the United Methodist Church because of this great land of ours and the limits of ordained clergy. And now we're trying to pick that tradition back up. So, you know, I don't know what we'll do about it here, but you need to remember that this is coming down the pike. This is something that our bishops, our general conference, have strongly suggested that we examine. And the reason we examine that is because there's power in receiving these elements. Yes, it's bread that you buy at a grocery store. It's grape juice you get at a grocery store. But something amazing, something wonderful happens when we as God's people pray over this. And theologians get into big arguments about it, and I don't care to get into those arguments about exactly what happens. All I believe is that when we gather as God's people and we pray over the bread and the cup, that something mysterious and wonderful occurs. That God's presence comes into those elements. And when we come by faith and kneel here as people who admit we're sinners and want to live a new life, God gives us the power to do that. Last month, I mentioned this, a couple of months ago, we had someone come down that just got so touched that they were in tears and people thought they were in distress, but they experienced the power of Jesus Christ in receiving the bread and the cup. And it was overwhelming to them, but there were tears of joy. So much joy that even some of the people that came to them to comfort them, they couldn't say, "I don't need comfort," and these are tears of joy. They were just so full of the power of the presence of God. That's what God wants for us. When we come before this altar, when we kneel and receive from our Lord and our God the gift of Himself, renewed every time we take it, and experience the power of the grace of God. The grace of God that changes our hearts. Paul's talking about people who eat at the table of the Lord and also eat at the table of idols. You know, they're people with what Scripture calls divided hearts. That a lot of their interest is out there in the world. A lot of what they live for is in the world. And they're pulled apart from God because they want to come to God, and yet they live so much for the world. We've got to be people dedicated to God so we can live in the world but not be dominated by the thinking of the world. We need to have single-mindedness. We need to have hearts that are fully given to the Lord God in Jesus Christ and sustained by the Holy Spirit, that we can carry out His wonderful mission in the world. That He can change our character. You see, Paul reminds them, he says, you know, there's a lot of things that are lawful. You know, Jane and I, my wife Jane and I, well, you know, I'm sure this doesn't happen to y'all, but, you know, we get in arguments every once in a while. And, you know, she'll remind me, well, I have a right to do this. And I'll say, you certainly do, but that doesn't mean it's God's will. We have the right and freedom to do a lot of things. That's what Paul was saying. There are many things that are lawful, but they're not helpful. There are many things that legally you have a right to do, but they're not building up the body of Christ. They're tearing it apart. I mean, you have the right to do it, but is it the will of God? When we come and receive these elements, when we come by faith, when we kneel and submit ourselves before a holy God and share in this holy meal, we're saying, God, change my heart, change my character, so I'm more like Your Son Jesus. I want you to come today with that hope, with that prayer, that you have single-mindedness and an undivided heart to give to our Lord and our God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for this privilege of coming to Your table to be nourished spiritually for what You have called us to do, what You've called us to be. And You promised that if we come by faith through these elements, You will transform and change us into what You want us to be. Some of us long for that deeply. Some may not take it that seriously, but You could change them anyway, because that's just the way You work. If we'll just come in faith and commit ourselves to be Your people, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen.